All right, good evening, everybody. Turn, if you would, to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. We're going to start there, and we are going to finish in John chapter 6, all right? We're going to look at this whole chapter. So there's a lot of verses here. 71 verses, so we'll probably get out about midnight. But no, I'm just kidding you. We won't. Anyway, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the new life that we can have in Christ. And Lord, as we go through life, there's bumps in the road. There's potholes and there's snags and traps and everything that the devil wants to snare us with. I pray, God, that you would help us to be in the Word, to study to show thyself approved unto you, and to fight the good fight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you turn to verse number, 67. 67, we're going to start there, and then we're going to go back, and I'll bring you up to speed where we're at here. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" And as you think about that question, it's a very good question, isn't it? And there's going to be times when you may be in a position where you may want to run off on God. And to be quite honest with you, that is probably the worst place in the world for a Christian to be, is on the run from God. You can't run anywhere, right? You can't run back to your old life because we have the Spirit of God that lives in us, and you're not going to enjoy the old things that you used to enjoy. You're not going to be happy with yourself. You're going to be, of most people, miserable. You are going to be a miserable person. And God has designed us as Christians so that we can point people to Jesus, right? In order to do that, we need to be walking with him. We need to be walking in the Spirit. There's going to be times when God is going to specifically have people lined up in front of you so that you can effectively minister to them. And I say effectively because many of us in this room know the Scriptures pretty good. We know them inside out, upside down, sideways. And we can fake it. That's not going to be sufficient for the work of God. God wants you to be about his business. And we're going to look at that as we get going here. All right. Let me bring you up as far as introduction. Let me get you going on what we're looking at in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to read all these. I'm going to read a few here. And then we're going to move on. Or like I said, we will be here all day, all night. And we're not going to do that. All right, John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So let's stop here for a second. There was a great multitude that followed Jesus, and the reason they followed him was because of his miracles. Now, I want you to realize that Jesus started doing miracles in Cana of Galilee. It's when he had turned the water into wine at the wedding. And Jesus can do anything. He is God. In Colossians, it says that all things were made by him, and through him all things consist. So he can do absolutely anything. I was sharing with my Sunday school class this morning that he made all of this out of nothing. So he can do anything. He can. Is Jesus a healer? Absolutely. I believe he can heal somebody. Jesus walked on water. Jesus, we're going to look here in a second. Well, let's just move on. In verse 5, then Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread for these may eat?" So here he's going to feed these people. And I'm going to speed through this a little bit and bring you up to speed. There was 5,000 men there, okay? Now, the 5,000 men also had wives and children. So realistically, there was probably over 10, 11, 12,000 people. We don't know, but there was a lot of people there. And it was interesting because Jesus, they didn't have McDonald's. I don't think a McDonald's could handle that kind of a load, right? They didn't have delivery service. They had five loaves and two fishes. Now, five loaves and two fishes would feed maybe two of me, right? But he made it to feed these over 10,000 people. And when he was all finished feeding them, they gathered up the remnants that was left over, and there was, I believe there was 12 basketfuls. And if you think about that, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, we serve an amazing God, don't we? Amen. And God can do anything. He can take, I've seen him take the heart of men and soften it and make it pliable so that they could be ministered to, so that they could step from death to life, so that they could have new faith in him. So we see here that Jesus feeds 5,000 people. In verse 15, we're skipping down a little bit. In verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed unto a mountain himself alone. So here we see that Jesus knew what was going on. How did Jesus know that they were going to do this? He's God. Amen. He knows everything. He is God. He's the God-man. And he went alone to be up in the mountain. And I believe that he went alone to be up in the mountain to fellowship with his Father. All right. Can I say this to you? When this is really heavy on my heart. When you see brothers and sisters fall away from the faith, it ought to break your heart. You know, I look down and I see the different chairs, and we used to have pews. And you know, I was telling the ladies over here that we've been here for 44 years. When we first came, there was pews in here, and now we've upgraded to these comfortable chairs. But I can remember seeing people, and I see the particular seats, and I can remember the family used to sit over here, and now they're not here. I can remember a friend of mine that he came for a long time, and then he went backwards, went the other way. And he ended up getting run over by a car. It shouldn't happen because he wasn't walking with God. And what I want, you know, it says in the Bible that in the latter days, and I believe we're in the latter days, brethren, in the latter days, will God find faith on earth? And I'm made a determination in my heart and in my mind that I will not quit. I'm going to chug along and chug along. I may fall down. What do you do when you fall down? Get up. There's a song. Get up, get up, get up in Jesus' name. Get up and repent. Ask Christ to clean you up. Use 1 John 1:9. That's our spiritual shower. Amen. Get cleaned up. Get fessed up, prayed up, and get back in the fight. Why is it so important for us to get into the fight? People are dying and going to hell. Amen? Time is running out for this earth. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. What does he want you to do? I want you to get people to come to him and get saved. There's so many things that God could have you to do. It says in the Bible, if you give somebody a glass of water in Jesus' name, praise the Lord. I get dry. So, but if you give a glass of water in Jesus' name, that's he's going to reward you for that. And you don't do it for the reward. You do it because of I do what I do because I owe God. I owe him. If God was fair with me, he would have took me and he could have dropped me right in the middle of hell, and I would have split it wide open because I was unclean and undone in my sins. He took me the way I was, and he cleaned me up, and he gave me a peace of mind. He gave me wisdom in the Word, and he has blessed me beyond all blessings that I could ever have asked for. So we see here in verse 15 that Jesus went up into the mountain to be alone. In verses 16 through 21, let me read this to you. And when he was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, and he entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose, and by reason of a great wind that blew, when they had moved about 25 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid.
I would be afraid. Amen.
So they were afraid. They knew when they left that Jesus was not there. He was up on the mountain. And here they see him walking on the sea. In verse 20, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, it is I, be not afraid. Do you know when we go through hard times, Pastor's message this morning was an awesome message. When we go through hard times, when we go through discouragement, when we go through trials and temptations and tribulations, we can go to God. Why? Because he bends his ear. The Bible says he bends his ear to hear us. I don't know about you, but I like that. God wants to hear me. Of all people, God, why do you want to hear me? Because I'm one of his child. I'm a child of God. He's adopted me into his family, and he loves me. How many of you ever felt like you've not been loved? When I was a young guy, when I was a kid, my parents went through a divorce. And my father left, and I was with my mom, and I remember kids making fun of me at the bus stop. Your father left because he hates you and this and that. And that bothered me for many, many years. And then I met my wife. She loves me. And then I met my Jesus, and he really loves me. So I'll tell you, when you come to Jesus, just enjoy him. He's not a hard taskmaster, is he? He gives you strength for the things that come along your way. And I am so thankful for my Lord Jesus Christ. So he said to the men in the ship, it's I, be not afraid. In verse 19, he walks on water. I don't know if you've ever tried that. The only way I could walk on water is if it was ice. And I didn't do good at that. I broke my ankle, by the way. So I've learned not to even walk on water. I don't ice skate. I don't do any of that anymore. All right. As way of discussion here, number one, the crowd was baffled. Verse 22 through 25. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one wherein the disciples had entered, and that Jesus went not with the disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. All right, so what's this is saying here is they saw the disciples get into the boat. Guess what? No Jesus. Where was Jesus? He was up on the mountain, all right? The disciples got in the boat moved off, and then the winds took it. In verse 23, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? So the first question that we can see here is that they knew that he wasn't in the ship. So what did they ask Jesus? They said, how did you get here? Miracle, right? Is God a God of miracles? Amen. You look at your life probably has a whole list of miracles that God has done in it. And sometimes we need to sit back and reflect on how good God is. And a lot of times we look and we get beat up by the world. We get overwhelmed by what's going on in our life or what's going on in society or what's going on in politics. And listen, God's got this. God is in control, isn't he? Amen. He is in control. And we see here that they had a question. Their question was, how did you get here? And we talked earlier about the wedding of Canaan. We talked about the five loaves. And these people saw Jesus Christ do miracles. Why did Jesus do miracles? I'm glad you asked. He did the miracles because every time he did the miracles, he was preaching to them the gospel of what he came to earth for. He came to die. Can you imagine that? You know, I think about this a lot. He was a carpenter, right? Every time he hammered a nail, he knew that it was coming. They were going to drive the nails in his hands. They were going to drive the nails in his feet. And he was going to die for me, for my sin, for your sin. He knew that. For 30 years as he was a carpenter. That blows my mind. I just can't fathom that. If it was me, I would try to figure a way out of that, right? But Jesus didn't. He went there for us. All right, so let's see here. Number two, the crowd had questions. The first question was, how did you get here? Because they were with Jesus on the other side when he fed them all. They saw what he did, and they wanted to know, how did you get here? Jesus' answer in verse 26 and 27, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." Well, that's a pretty sad situation, isn't it? They went for the food. You know, when we were in, when Linda and myself, we were in the Stonington Institute ministry, the man that I was taking over for, every Wednesday night, Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember what night it was. Huh? Thursday. We did Thursday and Friday. Thursday night was church, Friday night was Bible study. So every Thursday night, he would bring in, no joke, 10 large peaches. He would have a stack of peaches. There was 10 of them. And he would bring in these large pizzas. And guess what? There was a lot of people that just came for the food. It sounded good to me. I like pizza, you know. But I got to see some of the people would come in and get their pizza and they would eat. Then they would load up and have a stack of pizza and whew, off they'd go. And I used to think, man, when I went in there to take over for that man because he was retiring. I says, when I start doing this, pizza's gone, you know. And it's the same thing what was happening here. All these people saw and ate of what Jesus had fed them. What did he feed them? Fish and bread. I guess that was the first McFillet there, whatever they call that, fish fillet. bread and fish. They probably didn't have no cheese, though. Anyway, all right, so they were there just for the loaves, for the loaves and for the fish. Number 27, verse 27 says, "Labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So in verse 27, it says that we shouldn't labor for the things of the world. Now, is it wrong for us to labor? No. We have to labor, right? You know what I have at home every month? I have a light bill. I have a heating bill. I have insurance. I have car, gas. I have this, I have that. We have all these things, right? And we have to work. So it's not wrong to work. But what is wrong is if you don't divide your time and do some work for God. Amen? The Bible says that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, how can you work for God? A million different ways. You could bring somebody a water. You could you could write somebody a card of encouragement. You could call somebody up and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you. Hey, I was thinking about you, and God put you on my heart. You can stop by and visit somebody. Take time out of your life to make a purpose for Jesus in their life. Amen? And a lot of times we get so boxed in and just think of ourselves when we need to really figure out, well, who does God want me to minister to today? Because there is somebody every day. I don't care who it is. There's somebody every day for you to minister to. Well, how? Sometimes you may just see somebody who's downhearted. You know, if you look at somebody and, you know, they're all bummed out, you can minister to that person. If you know somebody's going through deep water, you can minister to that person. If you know somebody that has gone through family trials and tribulations or health problems, there's all of these things that we can do to minister to that person. You know, we have people that minister in here behind the scenes. Did you realize that? How many of you came to church this winter and it was cold in here? It was warm. Well, there was people coming in at 6 in the morning, at noon, and at 4 to 6 in the evening to fill the wood furnace, the boiler. There was people prior to that cutting the wood up, splitting the wood, stacking the wood. There's people that have to empty the ashes. Well, I empty the ashes for Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. You can do anything for the Lord. When I first came to this church, it was 44 years ago. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I couldn't teach the Bible. I could barely tell people I was saved. What happened to you? I got saved. What is that? I don't know, but I got it. And then I learned and learned and learned over the years. And you know, the first job I took was they had a couple of old vans, ratty old Dodges. And I would work on the vans. I would change the oil. I would grease them. I would check the tire pressure. I would sweep them out. That's what I did for Jesus. I did it for Jesus. Amen? And that's what God wants out of you. You don't have to, you're not going to be behind this pulpit tonight. You're not going to be here next week. It takes time. God, you know, God had to trust me with the van before he could trust me with a Sunday school or with going out on visitation or being an encouragement to somebody. God has to trust you with the little things before you get the big things. You get the picture? Amen. All right. So, the crowd had a question. The next question is in verse 28. You have to excuse me. We went to Florida a couple weeks ago, and that place is a wretched place. Everything was green and yellow, and they had the pollen everywhere. I came home sick as a dog. My nose was running. Good thing I was on a plane. I had to catch my nose, you know. But it's still, I got lasting effects from it. So that's why my voice is messed up and whatnot like that. All right, let's see here. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom hath he sent. So he was telling the people that wanted the free food, listen, I'm here because you got to believe on God. He sent me here. Amen? So that's what what was going on here. He answered their question in verse 29. It goes back to what verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God. So they were asking what the works of God were. In verse 29, Jesus told them, do what God the Father wants you to do. Each one of us has got a different ministry. You can't do what I can do. I can't do what Brother Getty can do. He can go into prison now. I can't go into prison anymore because I'm not in it. I'm off the list. Doug Getty is the prison guy from Lakes Pond Baptist Church. I can't do that. But I can pray for him. Amen? Listen, if you can't do something for the Lord, check it out, see who's doing it, and pray for him. That's what God wants you to do. And you're going to be getting just as much of a blessing praying for him as him going into the prison. All right? All right. We're going to look now. This is going to be a little time consuming. We're going to look at Jesus as the bread of life. And we're going to start in verse 23. And I need water. I already read through 23, didn't I? Yeah. All right. Verse 32, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For that bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto you. So this is really a metaphor. This is he's using the bread that he just fed them. And it's now he's relating what he's doing. He's giving his life, and he is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the spiritual bread that we need to build the spiritual person that's inside of us, all right? Where do you get that bread? I'm glad you asked. 1 John 1, faith cometh. Let me go there. I got my verses mixed up. Hold on. It's better to read it. I want to do like the song thing this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want more faith? Get into the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to get into the Word of God. Why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. He is the only thing that's going to change you, is the Word. I don't have enough faith. Get into the Word. But you don't understand. I don't have time. I said you cannot have time. You gotta put everything aside and get into the Word of God. You have to make time. If you don't, you're going to be one of them people that you know that Jesus was asking, "Will ye also go away?" I don't want to go away from God. Do you? I don't want to walk out on Jesus. I want to finish the race. You know, years ago I raced next door, and I can remember one time I started 135th in the race, and by the time I took the green flag, I was already being lapped by the leading car, and I thought, man, I hope I survive this mess. I mean, it was a mess. And I just putted along for many, many laps. It was a 150-lap race. It was a long race. And I just putted around for 75 laps. And I said to myself, when I see 75 come up on the board on the backstretch, I'm going to pull up and start letting it rip, start racing. And that's what I did, man. Pulled up. And I'll never forget it. I had Tom Booth's old Plymouth, for those of you old-timers, that blue, powder blue Plymouth. I had painted Jesus Saves on the whole rear quarter panel, put the number on it, put my name on the roof, and off we went racing. And when the 150th lap came down and I took the checkered flag, I was seventh. And I said to myself, you won. You finished. You finished the race. You finished. And, you know, when I think about that, I think that, you know what Jesus says? He says, fight the good fight. It's not where you start. It's where you finish. Fight the good fight. Don't give up. Amen. I don't get an amen out of that. Amen. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Why? There's nothing back there, and we're going to snatch people up out of the fire. Amen? All right, let's see here. Verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Well, that's a sad tale right there, isn't it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Doug, you ever hear this in prison? I'm too bad to get saved. Listen, I've seen God save the worst of the worst. And there's nothing that you could do to top that. I sat across the table from a guy that murdered 6 people. And he got convicted of 3. And he said, God can't save me. I said, sure he can. I said, God can save anybody. I said, he's God. If you've been saved, God wants to use you to reach people like that. There's nobody that can't be saved. Nobody. God could save anybody. They just have to be willing to come to him. Well, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives us rest. He gives us rest to minister. He gives the unsaved, he can give them rest so that they can get away from their old life and get saved and get in the body of Christ. All right, moving on here. Verse 48, moving down a little bit. Jesus here, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now, you know, the Jewish people are looking back when they were eating manna. And like I said earlier, this is a metaphor. Jesus is showing them that this is how God took care of the Jewish people back in the day when they had no food. He fed them with manna from heaven. And our manna today, so that we can get to heaven, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to come to him. Jesus fed them with the bread and the fish physically, and the people followed after him, and they followed after him just for that, the bread and the fish. And Jesus is the spiritual food we need. We talked about that in John 1:1. And as way of conclusion here, the parable of the sower in Mark 4, in Matthew 13, and in Luke 8, God shows 4 different spiritual plants. Satan, now there's 4 different spiritual plants here. And this is what happened. Satan immediately took one of them away. All right? That means this guy was trying to follow after God, and Satan took him out of the way. The second guy received the word, but he didn't have good roots in it. Listen, you think it's not important to get into this book and learn what it's about? I'll tell you, it would change your life. It not only will change your life, it will change the way you think. Listen, if we're left to ourselves, we're rotten. We think wrong, and as thinking wrong, we do wrong. You know, when I first started in the prison ministry, I was in there for over 2 decades, and I was shocked, totally shocked, Doug, you know what I'm talking about, of the Christians that were incarcerated. I saw people that I used to see in church, in here, I saw people in prison from church. How can that be? Got their eyes off the prize, looked back, man, that looks good, right? Satan tempts you, don't he? What are you going to do? Get ye hence, Satan. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Claim the promises of God. God is great. God can do it. We can't. Our flesh will fail you. So he had no root. The third one had the cares of the world, but he had no fruit. He was worried about the things of the world. Oh, am I going to drive a Cadillac, or, you know, am I going to go to the Bahamas on vacation? What's my 401k doing? How's my stocks? He wasn't worried about the things of God. Listen, we need to focus. What's important to you? It's the things of God. And the fourth person received the word, and he brought forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. That's the one I want to be. I want to be the one that's on point for God. Why? Because it's so important. Do you realize that the things that we do last forever? That means the things that you say wrong could send somebody away from God. I can remember years ago standing in the back, and I knew this guy that came in. He was a guard where I worked, and he came in the back door, and the first person he ran into was somebody that knew him. He lived on the same street. It was somebody in our church, and he said, "Oh, I can't believe you're here. The roof is going to fall in." And I said to myself, "Oh, are you kidding me?" I said it to myself. You know, that guy, I've never seen him back in church again. Shame on that guy that said that. That's why you have to be very careful that we don't wound anybody. Our mouth can wound somebody. Sometimes just looking at somebody could wound them. You know, you don't know what kind of day they've had. You don't know what they left at home to come here and find peace and rest. So we have to be very, very careful. But, and I'm getting ready to close here. So I ask you, will ye go away also? I hope you don't. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the life that we have in him. Thank you that you are our God, and you are a great God and greatly to be praised. So, Father, I pray for each one that's in here tonight that you would use them in a great way. Help them to fight the good fight. Whatever they got to do, fight the good fight for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.